on page Kuf Memtes Machshavas Avreichim. Kuf Memtes. The Rebbe in this parak is discussing the actual chevraya that he was, the chevras he wanted to create, and the rules and regulations of membership, and we're on page Kuf Memtes with the second paragraph. V'gam al kol echad mechavrayi kal ish mibnei ali yistakel. The Rebbe is saying that in terms of keeping the chavrayi together and how each one should look at the other, so he says v'gam al kol echad mechavrayi kal ish mibnei ali yistakel. That each one should see the other as a ben aliyah. It's how the derech haaretz and the kavod that one should have for the other. Yichabdeyu v'yakireyu. We know that there was once a very large chevraya of Rabbi Kiva's students, 24,000 students, and the whole kilkel came as a result of on their madrega, not looking at each other in the right way. So yichabdeyu v'yakireyu, to honor and to treasure and to respect to each one the other. The Rebbe repeats this over and over throughout his svarim. The shorish is mibnei hanevim. Each and every Jew is a ben navi, but especially those who are part of a project of tremendous growth in ruchnius. Each one is shorish of bnei hanevim. V'gam hu moser etzatzmo l'kedusha sheyishra Hashem alav. And the other person in the chevraya has been moser himself. He's given himself over also to kedusha to draw himself closer to Hashem. Chutz mizeh shaloyim b'chaverim shaynim. Besides learning with chavrusas, with different chavrusas, the Rebbe says it's absolutely essential that the chavarim should gather together every single day, that all of the chavarim should gather together every day in the shtibel or in the house that they are designated, l'nyanei chasidus. And k'sheyisasfu lo yidabru dvarim b'teilum. And when they gather together, they should not talk about dvarim b'teilum. They shouldn't talk dvarim b'teilum, things that are not part of what they're working on. Stam dvarim b'teilum. Back yilmadu kol echad davar sherotze lilmod. Each person should learn what he wants to learn. Ze gemaras and mishnayos. Aval gam shir echad yikbul lelamdo kulam yachad. Each person can learn whatever he wants. The ikur is that they should come together in this shtibel, in this house, and that there should also be a shir. There should be one shir, at least shir echad yikbul lelamdo kulam yachad. That there should be one shir where they all are together, learning a shir together. In pamachas b'shavu or pamayim yoseh. Once or more, kfishi yisratzi reiva chaveim, according to the desire of the majority of the chaveim, ubefrat inyani hadrocha v'sifrei chasidus. And this shir should be in hadrocha and sifrei chasidus. Gam kontraisim elu kulam yilmudu yachad. These kontraisim, meaning of the sefer achshavas avreichim, kontraisim meaning the svarim of the Rebbe were like in those days. It's not so long ago, but most svarim originated in kontraisim, and we have that nowadays also, that there were pages that would come out at different times, different as they were coming out. The kontraisim were being printed, and they were being passed along among the chassidim in all the different neighborhoods and all the different areas, until eventually it would be made into a sefer. So these kontraisim, the Rebbe said that they should be learned together by the chaverim. Gam kontraisim elu kulim yilmudu yachad im yagishu ki oisim kontraisim ham taiva. Only if they feel that these kontraisim, the Rebbe saying of his own, that they're helpful. Kshiyumudu yachad eze inyim inyani hadracha. When the chaverim are learning together in inyan, in hadracha, lo yavro lov kal eze sipur hamaisa. They shouldn't just learn it, read it quickly, the hadracha, like a sipur maisa, like they're reading some kind of a story. But yilmudu benachas of the iyan, to learn it benachas, to learn it slowly, and the iyan, and to learn it in depth, to learn it carefully. V'yasimu oisa heinyan al atzman. And the main thing is that when they're learning, the main thing is to see how they can adapt that into their lives. How, what they're learning in Hadracha, how they can apply it to their actual lives. Ech yikaymu heim is divi Hadracha shal sefer zeh. How they could be mekayim, how they'd be able to observe the Hadracha that's found in that sefer. Ve'ech yikbu es hadover bekirbo. And how they should be able to establish this, that which they're learning in the sefer, how they should be able to use it lamaisa. Va'oz yizgal l'fneim inyonim shoynim b'sefer. And then they will see that it will be revealed to them different things in that sefer if they learn it carefully and they learn it with the intention of applying what they're able to themselves and discussing how we can put into use these things in the sefer, then other things will become clear. Any member of the chavraya who feels that there's an important idea, a raya and tov that he has, whether that falls into his mind, he thinks of it when he's together with the chavraya, or whether he's in his house, or he's on the street, he shouldn't be hesitant to say it in front of the rest of the chaverim, this idea in avoda, in hadracha that he had. V'chaverim yishmu lo'i, k'afilu im tes pa'amim lo'iyah mamash b'dvarav. It could be that this particular guy, could be that 9 times he says something, and it's not there's nothing particularly important or significant in what he said. But the tenth time, it could be a dovet tov. There could be something. Or kama shisib b'zayar kadosh shalafamim gam bialkuta shalhaani nimsa margalis. B'zayar kadosh gives a beautiful muscle that sometimes, in a very unexpected way, you could open up the knapsack of a poor person, and lo and behold, there's a pearl. That something fell in. Anger file and something good fell in. You never know that. So even a person who might not be the most astute and brilliant and insightful member of the chavraya, so he has things to say. So the Rebbe says to pay attention, that it's kedai, that even though more often it's not anything of significance, but every now and then there could be a pearl. L'fisha gesavn l'el. The Rabbi says, I already explained that any good machshava, any machshava toive in the inyan of Avodas Hashem that is mischadish, that somehow rises up from a Jewish mind and a Jewish heart, min heid shall call nafshay, who, next page, it's an echo, it's a little bit of a basko. In other words, when a person has a his iris, and has an idea or a machshava, a feeling of something in Avodas Hashem, it's not stam. And even though, I mean, that's why we see that by the tzaddikim, even when it came from simple people, when there was something in Avodas Hashem that a yid had, and he wanted to say over. So it's a certain echo, the Rebbe says, of the nefesh, of the soul. Sometimes it's an echo of the scream of the soul that it's gone through, that it's going through some nefilah, that it's suffering, some nefilah in Avodas Hashem, or some difficulty. And when the person has this idea or this feeling that he wants to share with the others, it's something that's coming from within himself. It's not stam. It's a little bit of a baskal, a little bit of a ruach hakodesh, a little bit of a nevuah. I shall call simcha b'shasha elahi, or he's something that he's very happy about. There's some simcha, but that simcha is coming from within himself. This is not a contrived thought that he's thinking about. How could I say something that's going to be a good vart that's going to impress everybody? And it's something that's just, it's coming from within himself, and he wants to share it with the chaverim. So the Rebbe says you have to respect it, because that's something that's coming. It's you're hearing something that's coming from the nefesh, from the soul of a Jew, and it's not a small thing. There was a ma'aseh I saw in Pesach. There was a, which one of the tzaddikim, that he was by the seder, and one of the chassidim told him that there was a little bit of a tumult going on down the street by the home of one of the Jews from town, and the rabbis went to see what it was, and there were chassidim that were standing outside. And they were laughing, and they were watching. There was a Haggadah, there was a Seder, there was a Yid that was reading the Haggadah, and one page of the Haggadah was the Haggadah, and then the page that was the next page, the opposite page, was from Megillas Eicha. It's a little bit connected to the story that I told by the Mashiach, so was Megillas Eicha. A whole page, and he was saying this out loud, and the wife and the children were sitting there, and he was saying over the Haggadah, and it would stop in the middle, and the next page was Eicha, and then again it was Haggadah and Eicha. So what happened, it says in the safe, what happened with the seed was that somebody at the binders played a trick on him. He was a very, very simple person, and he had some svarim, whatever, he gave to me that they should be taken care of by the binder, and the guy thought he would have a good time, and there's a fellow that was working there, and he made him a Haggadah, that one page was the Haggadah and one page was Megillas Eicha, and he told his friends to watch to see, he's such a dope that he'll just sit there and he'll read, you know, he'll read the Manishtan, and then he'll read Eicha Yashva, you know. He doesn't know anything. He's just going to read whatever I made for him. I could put into him over here Kinas, and I could put him over Yom Kippur. He'll just say whatever's in there. And sure enough, he brought his friends over. And sure enough, the guy's sitting there in the safe, and he's screaming out the Haggadah, and he says over the need. He probably knew the Haggadah by heart. He said, but he doesn't know. But whatever, if it's in the Haggadah, then you have to say it. How did it get in the Haggadah? Akash, it got in the Haggadah. Somehow it's in the Haggadah. So, you know, why do they put it in the Haggadah? The Atzei Knesset Gadolah must have had a reason for it. If they put it in the Haggadah, they must have felt that there's a Shaychus. So the Rebbe, of course, made a very, very beginning of this. He said that Shemayim, it's a tremendous Hashpah of Chesed, all kinds of Hashpahs, Torahs, that he was Moira, the connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. And Pesach is the Tikkun and Tisha B'Av, and that's brought down in Halacha, they need Pesach and Tisha B'Av. But Akoponim, so that if a Jew says something sincerely, and he means it as a way of having a kesher to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so it's something that comes from a place that has to be respected. As the Rebbe is saying, is that it's a scream that's coming from the nefesh, because if it's nefila or there's some a kol simcha b'shosha elihi. He says, but he warns that people should be careful about taking up the time of other people. And it's not stam to, as I said a minute ago, to say a vart, to say over an idea, to use up people's time. Or kidei lahisif diburim laharis chachmasim bilvad. A stam to say things in order to show how smart you are. But you have to come up with something or think of something. Like a person could sometimes, you know, when yeshiva, you sit in yeshiva and you're thinking the whole time, how could I say something that will sound good, right? How could I say something that will impress the Rebbe or something? It's not an Indian here, but if there's something that a person has, a strong idea, a feeling that he wants to share, he says the chaverim should listen. Now this part would probably be censored by the modern day censors, the next little piece here. talks about drinking. He says, "Toiv sheyishtu bizman lezman mashki yachad." It's good if once in a while the chaverim drink together some schnapps, they have some mashke together. Toiv sheyishtu bizman lezman mashki yachad. Remember that the way that mashke was treated was different in those days, and not everybody had self control. It wasn't like you didn't have in every town a shikar or two. There were drunk people then too. But it wasn't, in general, it was with control. My father says he remembers that, you know, that his father, Allah Shalom, and that all the Yidden, every day after Shachris, every morning after Shachris, there was a tikkun. There was a tikkun. Everybody had a little glazel of schnapps, a tikkun. Sometimes, you know, a yahrzeit, something was a little extra, but everybody had a schnapps, a little thing of schnapps. My father said, but nobody took two. Now, everybody had one, a little thing, and they went out to the day with it was considered to be very good and very very healthy, and they had a little schnapps. But he said you never saw. He said there were one or two that used to go to different schools to get. Everybody knew who they were. There were a few like that they used to go. He said there were poor people that the only places that they ate were by that they just would go to different shuls to get tikkuns and there were a couple one or two my father said there was shikar. I mean, everybody knew that there was a shikar, but it wasn't like there was a common problem that you know with people drinking too much or kids coming around. My father said young people the shum oifen, there's no such thing as a bacha. There was a bacha wasn't even no one had to tell a bacha not to. There wasn't such a thing that a bacha should touch. The schnapps was only for older people, not for bacha. But the inyan of drinking a little mashke together, he says, the Rebbe says, of course, it's loy l'hishtaker l'hoy l'chas ha-shalom. I'm talking about getting drunk or carrying on chas ha-shalom. Rakedarkam shel ha-chasidim. The Rebbe is saying, I'm talking about the way that the chasidim would drink. That in order to bring a greater schabras, a greater kesher between the chassidim, that the inyan of mishnechnas yayin, when a little bit of drinking, that it could be ma'ira a person, and it strengthens the friendship, and it takes away the things that are it takes away a little bit the barriers between one person and another person, and it creates more of his schabras. And in order to awaken the nefesh of Bahamas, remember there's that passionate part of a person that's oftentimes it's sleeping, and because of that, the avodas Hashem is also weak, and the avodas Hashem is suffering, and so a little bit of schnapps to awaken to arouse the nefesh of Bahamas, to get the juice going inside of a person, that was something that was used among the Chassidim. Again, of course, there were times that it was misused. There were times that it was not a good thing. But the general atmosphere, if you speak to people from earlier years, the general atmosphere was one of tremendous self control. I was just reading the other day, somebody was talking about here in New York. In some old shul, that he said he remembers. This goes back in the 1930s or something. There was an old shul in one of the neighbors, East New York or somewhere. Well, these were East New York. And there was a Polish yid. And this person said he remembers, and he as a kid that he was there in the summer. So he was davening in that particular shtiebel in the summer, because during the year he was in yeshiva. In the summer he davened in that shtiebel, and he said there was a Polish yid. He wore boots, he remembers, even in the summer he would wear boots. And this Polish Yid would come, and after davening every day, he would take out from one packet a newspaper, and he would unroll the newspaper, and there was a herring in the newspaper. He had it in his pocket. And there was a herring in the newspaper. And then he had in the other pocket, he took out a little piece of bread, and he had a little bottle of schnapps, and a glazel. And all this he said was in his pockets. And he would sit over there, and he would make a little thing where he would have this herring, and it was such a look he said on his face. It was the most beautiful thing. And he had this, and he made a l'chaim to everybody. And he said, this was at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he said, then he opened up the Gemara, and this yid, he said, learned until 8 p.m. without any stop. And then he would daven, they would daven mincha, and then marv, and he would go home. And he said, he remembers this yid growing up. And he would learn, he said, but kailas, he would scream out the Gemara till 8 o'clock he was learning, 8 p.m. All he needed though was he had to have the herring and the schnapps and a little piece of it. He said, that's it, Hattie. Every single day he would take, and he had such a beautiful look on his face when he would roll, would unroll the newspaper. I remember seeing even like that with the fish in the newspaper. I remember seeing. So that must have been one of the better uses of newspapers in those days when people were smart enough not to read the newspaper. When they used this for important things like what, you know, taking care of a herring. So there was such an Indian of a Jew like that, but you could be sure 100% that he didn't, like during the day, start sipping from his bottle. You know, even though he had it in his pocket, he didn't start pouring extra drinks. That was a certain oomph that it gave to a person's day and to the kaychas ha-nefesh, and to the nefesh of Bahamas, to wake it up from its slumber. And that's a good thing. But unfortunately, like many good things, when it's not used properly, and it gets out of control. I you know, there was a lot of people commented a couple of years ago when I said that I don't want there to be any more, you know, that there should be any more drinks in the shul, and whatever. It's such a time honored tradition to have, and how can we do that? It's chaval. Really, it should be fine, and it's true. There is a mahalach like that, but it's not so choshev that it should be at the price of even one person or one bocha that shouldn't be having it, or that it should be a taiva for someone that shouldn't be having a taiva for it, or that it should become part of the consciousness of kids or of people who, in general nowadays, are out of control. You know how many times I go to Shalom Zochas that I become nauseous? Very rarely from our chever, but sometimes from the younger chever, some of the younger chever, friends of people from the shul, or to go to other Shalom Zochas, and you see that the guys are drunk. On a Friday night, they're sitting there drinking, and you can see that, the way that they're acting, the way they're talking, even the way that they're singing. So with the singing, there's a little bit of a service, okay, but it's not anymore in the way that the Rebbe's talking about. And it's chaval, because it really was an important kli in Avodas Hashem. A very important kli in Avodas Hashem. But it's not kedai if it's going to cause people chas v'shalom to cause. People should have control, but they don't. So that's why that's why the children should not, nowadays, I believe that the children should not grow up seeing these things as the Shalom Zachas, and to see their fathers acting that way and drinking and carrying on. I was at a Shalom Zachar some time ago that it was I couldn't stay there. It was a bush, and I felt embarrassed, you know, to be there, the way that the guys and they're talking and they're carrying on and pouring glass of chutz. It's a girl nefesh. It's not what the tzaddikim, that's not what the Rebbe's talking about.
Even
he says someone that's not allowed to drink mashke because of his health, it's not good for him. He should also have something. Just put some water in it, he says. Water it down a little bit, but don't not have mashke, chas v'shalom. Just, you know, fill, you know, distill it a little bit, but you have to have some mashke. V'yeshtei imohem yachad. In Chabad, this is a very big avodah. Again, I don't know what's going on nowadays. But the Russians, Kiyadua, are famous for holding their liquor. And in Chabad, there's a Shalei B'dech HaTevel. And I remember as a kid, that sometimes being by Fabrangins, and not just Fabrangins by the Rebbe Yolva Shalom, but by smaller Fabrangins, by the Chassidim, that you know, to be able to drink that much, vodka, you know, one after the other, and the and the the mesikas and the avoda and the chassidus and everything was. But I don't know nowadays what's going on. But I remember as a kid seeing that, and you know, being dispelled from it, and for an outsider, it looks like, you know, it could look like something that's not such a good thing. But that's how the chassidim conducted themselves. And the tachlis, of course, is what the Rebbe is talking about. After she yishtu mashke, after drinking a little bit of mashke, then yizamru eze zemeshul hasayris. After the mashke, to sing a little bit as a zemer of hasayris, a song of hasayris. Kama yidid nefesh adayin oylam. He's not talking about on the Shabbos. He's talking about a regular day. Yidid nefesh adayin oylam. You know, there's a famous thing from the Gra. There was somebody that came to Vilna Gaon. Stami, you heard this. He wrote a parish on the Siddur, and he brought it to the Vilna Gaon to get a haskama from the Vilna Gaon. You know this, Maisa? He came to bring it to the Gaon to get a haskama. And the Vilna Gaon opened it up just to the beginning, and he saw on Adayin Olam by the morning, Adayin Olam, that this mechaber wrote. He wrote, "We have a Kabbalah that the author of Adayin Olam is Avraham Avinu. That Avraham Avinu is the one." So he explained there, because Chazal tell us that until Avraham Avinu, nobody called the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Adayin, right? Aleph Dalet. Nobody called Adayin until Avraham Avinu. So he wrote that since Avraham Avinu was Mesakin Shachris, so that's why we begin Shachris with Adayin Olam, because Avraham Avinu was the first one to refer to Hashem as the master of the world. And the Vilna Gaon said on that if only it was this one sentence, one pshat, it would be kedai to have written this entire Peirush. And he gave a very warm haskam. I forgot the name of it. It's a parish on the city you can get. I just don't remember which one. But the guy says, just for this alone, Adayin Olam, that's my Avraham Avinu, such a thing. So he says that after the mashke, a little bit, Yidid Nefesh on Adayin Olam, Mizim Lodovet Hashem Alayachsa. We don't even know how it was possible for Shlomo Kalvach to have Nagunim. I was sitting Yantiv at the table because we were singing different Nagunim, you know, and then I was thinking, well, what did we sing before Shlomo Kalvach? Like, what was, you know, what was it to sing? You know, it's hard to, because almost every Nagun you sing, is from Shlomo Kalvach. Unless you make a conscious effort to try to dig up something that's not. But the Chassidim have a lot of Nagunim. A lot of Nagunim. If you tried to think of a Nigun, or tried to find out a Nigun before the Baal Shem Tov, somebody once said to me, you can't find five Nigunim from before the Baal Shem Tov. ask anybody for Nigunim before the Baal Shem Tov, for a Nigun that comes from before. But the Yakis they have. The German Jews have, their Kehilas, have some, in Davening they have some Nigunim. But just ask for a Nigun. But a Nigun has to go back before the Baal Shem Tov. So somebody said to me, you can't find the Gunim anymore that are from before the Moshav. Like, where's there a Nigin from the Maral? A Nigin from the Rashba, from the Rambam. What were they singing in those days? What was the Nigunim before the Moshav? I don't know. Mizm l'dovet Hashem l'yechsa, v'al kein l'kavlecha Hashem l'keinu, shabalena l'shabef l'chadayim, to sing a Nigin. Vim tislahiv nafsham, and if there's a hislavus and nefesh, not because you have to, but if there's a feeling of hislavus that starts to, the room starts to get warm, the chever, the yitz lirkad yachad, and they want to dance together, then yirkadu, then they should dance. But it's from tislahiv nafsham. If there's hisayris to dance. Not because every single day at 8:30, you know, we have to dance. If there's a service to dance, and to slive a nafshan, v'yitzu lirka yachad, I've been to some Chassidish gatherings where the Olam is dancing, and it's like no one's like it's just a formality that they're supposed to dance at that time. But sometimes you see, like, you know, I remember once when I was in Yerushalayim at a certain small, I was at a Chassidish shtibel, and there with a rabbi there, a very fine yid, and it was Moshe Shabbos by Kiddush Levana. And it's like, you know, everybody's like, no, but it wasn't anything. It wasn't like a rikud. It was just that there's a custom to have a rikud. But the rikud, he says, if it comes with his slavus on efesh, the yitzel lirkud yachad, then yirkud will dance. Bilvadshli yivalu says man b'shtiya zimra v'kida bilvad. As long as they don't spend their time just drinking, singing, and dancing. That's not the main thing. This stuff. It's not the main thing. Kol sifrei chassidus kedoshim v'tovim hem. It's interesting because this next thing that we're learning, we're going to see also come out the same thing is going to be in Eretz HaTshuva today. He says, kol sifrei chassidus kedoshim v'tovim hem. All the sifrei chassidus are kedoshim and tovim, are holy and are good. Umekadshim umetarim es alormei behem. And they purify and they mekadish the people who are learning them. But each person should learn that sefer, that chassidish sefer. But he feels that it's best for him personally to bring him closer to Hashem. How he feels about that. Yizharu lilmoid harbei bat setel kotten, miskenya kodesh. But he says that the chevraya should always learn a lot, should go over and over the setel kotten that's printed in all the Noam Eli Melech's. Yeah, it's printed in many siddurim also. The setel kotten, it's called, from the Rebbe Eli Melech, miskenya kodesh from my Zaydi, Rebbe Eli Melech. Ma'od yizharu l'shevus yachad b'kol Shabbos b'sudah shlishis. You should be very, very careful. Very careful to be together every Shabbos for Shul HaShudas. K'mar shekvar dibarnu el minyona, as we already were talking about in the earlier parak, the inyan of Shul HaShudas and how important it is. There was no such thing as a chassidish yid in the old days, in the old country, that would be shal shudas away from the chavayim. They would sit in the shul learning, or would sit at home having shal shudas. There was no such thing. Every single one to be by the sudas shlishis together with the chavayim. Ma'od yizharu l'shevus yachad b'kol Shabbos v'sudas shlishis k'mo shekvar dibarnu l'el minyano. B'chlal zman sudas shlishis b'Shabbos. That time of Shal HaShudas on Shabbos, Hu HaYom HaKippurim Shal HaShavua. That's Yom Kippur of the week. That's why in America, it was, in the non-Chassidish places, it was to a large extent eliminated. It was a wonder for those Jews who came from Europe. My father said, when he came to America and he saw that Shal HaShudas was crossed off was cancelled. Meaning that instead they had either people sitting around in shul, like just sitting around schmoozing in shul, waiting for Marv, or some, you know, rabbi or rav or somebody to say over a dvar Torah during the time of Shal HaShudas, to be samech on, you know, the yaitz of a Torah Shal HaShudas, and just have a few people going down. I don't know what's going on nowadays, and because I don't know. Not by other places. I don't know what goes on in shuls. Nowadays, do like modern Orthodox shuls, do they eat by Shal HaShudas? They make
shiur.
They don't have a meal? They don't sit down to have a Shal
HaShudas?
There's not an option? Like if they want
have a 7 to 10 minute Shal HaShudas and then followed by a shiur.
Meaning at the Shal HaShudas, they wash?
They wash and they go back up to the shul and then
they wash and they bench? They don't sing together?
They sing when they get to Yotzei, and then
they bench,
and then the rabbi goes upstairs to the shul and he says a shir on some contemporary halachic topic.
Yeah, it's a very, very big avla. It's a terrible avla. It was it's the Yom Kippur of the week. That's what everybody's saying, it's the Yom Kippur of the week. It makes a big difference in a person's Avodas Hashem. And I remember even when I was I'm trying to remember, but it goes back already a while, but over 30 years, but they used to have what used to be in the shul. I mean, I went to the shtiebel, but I used to, when I was younger, I was in the, across the street, there was a shul from where, across from where we lived, and in the shul, what they had was, is that downstairs there would be like 20, 30 men, and there'd be shoshudas, you know, Mizmor LaDavid, Hashem. And there'd be shoshudas, but the rabbi didn't come. It was like the old guys were going on. The older guys would come down there, and my father took me down, and the older guys would be down there, and then upstairs there was no shir either. Guess why? That's why they started at least to have a shir. Upstairs there'd be like 300 guys sitting around, like with the, you know, just waiting for the shoshudas guys to come upstairs, but just schmoozing. That's how I remember being in the shul where I grew up. You know, then I went to the shtiebel, that then I spent all the shoshudas in the shtiebel. The shtiebel was mamish, a beautiful shoshudas that made a huge difference in my life, shoshudas in the shtiebel. That was a very, very big thing. The Rebbe there in the shtiebel that he said Torah and was singing, and it was beautiful. Shoshudas made a very big difference. But in the big shul, where we lived over there by Jewel Avenue, in the big shul, it was the old timers were downstairs. The old timers, there was a plate of herring and some kichelach, and washed. And I remember that a lot of times upstairs they were annoyed, and they were always making cracks. Where were you? If you like, we're 30 seconds late. Because there, even before the time of Havdalah, there would be like, there was a yid there, there was a gabbai. He's not alive anymore. He was a very interesting guy. So he was like, he was so medactic to make the Havdalah at the right, at the Zman. So sometimes it was like a little bit before the Zman, it looked like. Because it used to be that after he'd make Havdalah and he put out the candles, there was always a couple of guys who say to him, Good Shabbos. Good luck. Shabbos. And there were already cars parked outside on Jewel Avenue. There were already cars, there were the ladies, some of the women came for, you know, came to pick up their husbands already. They were getting nervous because it was going to be, you know, 7:21 matinee or something. And they were already parked outside. And I remember, but it was pinklich, you know, to the second you weren't allowed to have. But that's how it was, the men upstairs. So what eventually evolved from that is that the whole thing of shoshudas, so when they go downstairs for shoshudas, 5 minutes, 7 minutes shoshudas, the whole island does that?
Pretty much. Some guys stay upstairs,
yeah,
pretty much most of the
guys. So it's a rush then. They just have to wash and they sing and they come. Mm-hmm. It's chaval, man. It's,
you know, it's like that in this neighborhood with 30 guys having Siddur Shlishi, and now it's two separate menus.
I don't know. I wasn't asking about any particular place. Yeah. It doesn't interest me. But
no,
which particular?
Saying, yeah, but, that's but, why I didn't say any names.
But I'm sorry, I just don't know how it goes on in general. Like in the more, you know, even in I don't know like, what happens like in yeshivish minyanim in neighborhoods where they have, you know, I don't know if in the yeshivish places, I don't know if they have a. Like, I don't know. They have a. They talk in learning. They don't have shalosh shuvas. No. So it's expected that they had shoshudas at home.
Some of the names, how's
Cherny is like.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about in Farak. That's not yeshivas. That's Farakway is different. That's not yeshivas. I'm talking about if you go. I mean, maybe they want to be yeshivas, but that's not yeshivas. If you go in the yeshivas circles, in minyanim, like Five Oak Cohen, these places of David Cohen. You know, B'nai Torah in Flatbush or in Borough Park. Oh, Borough Park's Chassidish was about in Muncie and these places. I don't know how the yeshivas are got. Like the yeshiva bachim, the yeshiva bachim have shoshudas for the rebellion in the yeshiva. Sometimes I guess they. I hope they do. I don't know. Right, they're different hanhagas in different places. In Eretz Yisrael, shoshudas is a very big thing with the boys, right? And Eretz Yisrael, the yeshiva, that's a very important part of the week. To socials, but I don't know, different minyanim, different places. I'm not, but whether they have or they don't have, But that's an important. That's the Rebbe saying. Who Hayom Kippurim Shalosh Shavua? The Baal Shem Tov made a very big inyan about this.
I don't know if it's still today, but the Rebbe knows that the Shalosh Shavua eventually ended up upstairs.
On Yom Yisrael?
Yeah. They started doing it upstairs, and it broke up a lot of the talking. They went outside, actually.
I mean, the guys that wanted to talk would leave.
They went out on the stairs outside in the night when it's
so now they have Shalosh Shavua in the back upstairs?
I can't say.
We used to have Shalosh Shavua downstairs, just a few people.
5 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, I remember it went from downstairs and went upstairs, and they went out to the stairs.
Yeah, it would be such a nice thing, because it really... I'm not against them having a, you know, of course it's nice to have a shir, but it's not like we're talking about such big masmidim that they can't afford, you know, a half hour not to have, you know, the shir on the ramifications of, you know, of a person using a hearing aid on Shabbos, you know, with a shinui or something. Okay, it's important stuff, you know, but you know, there's time for that too. There's time for that. But dafke during Shul Shuvs, everybody has to have a shir, and have to have, you know what it is. It's a maisa satan. Maisa satan, that's what it is. If the satan comes to take away something, it's important. And when he comes with a shir, then... But if you don't have, if the rabbonim are not people who want that or not... If the Rabbanim would make it, so then they'd start to sing, and then slowly more people would come, and more people would come, and everybody wants to sing. Everybody wants to have his slavas. They just don't. They're not used to that. Maybe Chaim David was telling me how he was in a shul, in one of these big shuls, and he said that Friday night, he said he got the Olam was like into it. But he couldn't get the rabbi. They had to drag the rabbi down. He kept on pulling himself and sitting back in his throne. You know, they have by some of the Ashkenazim, they have a throne on top. You know, by the Aron Kodesh, they sit on the throne. And he kept on sitting in his throne. And they pulled him. They were pulling him back down. And he wouldn't be until like for, you know, just like for 10 seconds. He went around a little bit. So what is the, you know, the island, they're not. If they see that the person who's leading them is the Mara Derech, is not Mishtatif, you know, so then it cools the whole thing down. So, and that's a problem. You see, but the young Chevra that are coming up now, they understand more, they have more of a feeling for this now. The young Rabbanim, the young Chevra, there's more of a Hergish for these things, and more of, even if it's not a feeling fit, but they understand intellectually that this is a good thing. And to try to be Ma'ira this Indian. Shalosh Shuvus and the Rikud and so on. But that's the Yom HaKippurim Shalosh Shavua. Yom HaKippurim Shalosh Shana Megalas HaNefesh U'metaharos HaMichalos HaShakol HaShana. Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur reveals the Nefesh of a Jew in his purest state, and it cleans the Nefesh, it cleans the soul of a Jew from all of his sicknesses from the entire year. That's the regular Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur. And each week Hashem Yisbarach gave us Shalosh Shuvus to be the Yom Kippur of the week, which is Metairas HaNefesh, that purifies the Nefesh, U'Megala Oisa, and it reveals the Nefesh, Metairas HaNefesh, U'Megala Oisa, V'Eskol HaTshukiz, V'Anochas Shala, and all of the longings and all of the krachtsing of the soul, shahayim ustaris mina b'chala shavua, that were hidden from the person himself the whole week, because all week long there are these krechtsen, there are these chukis of avodas Hashem that are gathering inside each and every one of us, but we're running around like mishagam the whole week, and we don't have that yom kippur to be megala those chukis, and to be megala to reveal those anachas that are sitting inside. So when is the time that happens? That happens Shalosh Shuvus. By Shalosh Shuvus, there's a gilui of these shukas and these anachas, the good things and also the bitterness, a certain feeling of tzibrach and kait that are gathering inside of a person. But during the week, he's too busy with his BlackBerry, you know, he's answering people. I was talking to somebody. I said, while I was talking to him, so this is Numa Dregis. So you already, you know that people, like when you talk to them, they wear, I made a big union about this last year, that the people walk around the whole time with their hearing aid, with their thing, what's it, you know, with their Bluetooth. They're wearing the Bluetooth while they talk to, I was someplace where I was davening somewhere, a mincha. And he stood there with it, not talking, but he didn't take it off. Why should he take it off? Maybe it's surgically connected or something. But he had it. He had the Bluetooth there by mincha. He had it on. He didn't take it off by mincha. He was davening, and he still had the machine. He still had the thing on his ear. So that I already now I see that so fun. I see people walk around like that. They walk around with wires and things. I was at a chasna. Also, see person's dancing, and the whole time he's dancing with the Bluetooth. he's waiting for some, you know, big Indian to come to him from somewhere in the middle of the chasna. So what does that mean? Is the chasna? The chasna doesn't think about that. He's busy with his simcha. But the chasna look and say, you can't take off the thing by my chasna to dance that the rikud should be without the half a minute of a phone call. That you can't take 15 minutes, one rikud with me. That you have to go with the thing. But then I had a thing yesterday that I was talking to somebody, and while I was talking to him, he was typing out, he was looking at me a little bit, and then like this, and doing something on his on the BlackBerry. He was sending an email on the BlackBerry, and you know, he was talking and back and forth. So instead of a sitter now, they have this kun seeming to use it on their...
No, I'm talking about actually taking email and responding. It's like a person sitting...
Oh, responding to an email during Chazal Shatz, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like sitting here with a newspaper.
I never saw that. I didn't see somebody... I know that they use that now. It's like a cool thing to daven from a Chazal now. To daven from a computer.
People are responding to their emails.
What?
They're responding. They're
waiting
for Chazar Shatz,
they're
just, you know, responding to emails.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay, that's...
I was in LA and I saw a rug that had the Bluetooth with Navi Musaf for a following. Easier.
During Musaf?
During Musaf.
Yeah. Probably. Maybe there was some kind of... No, it's not Shabbos. Call him away. Not Shabbos.
It was
surgically... Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. I'm sure he doesn't do that all the time. Maybe there was some Indian that there was some important... Maybe there was something...
The whole dominating.
Could be there was a medical... You know, it'd be down the Catskills. Maybe there was something that...
They don't feel like they can break themselves away even for a half hour.
With the communications.
Yeah.
I was talking yesterday because... I was there by Jeff Spicer. Shalom Yonah was telling me how so now he has to, you know, if you're in business you have to do with the BlackBerry. And he said it's worse than ever before. He said it used to be that with the phone. He said, but now like he has to, like, people expect you to write right away, like to respond right away to that. But I guess in business you have to be able to do that. I don't know if you're a business person, you have to be able to, people want to email and they have to. But so a person has Shabbos that he doesn't, that he's puttered from all of these things, and he's able to sit shoulder to shoulder. I'm trying slowly to wean myself off completely from the phone. Like I'm answering less phone calls and calling back. It's terrible. My wife says, you know, like you just, and I says, like, you know, you just, I said, so I'm slowly like trying to break my connection to the phone altogether. So I knew that when it started that Wednesday thing, you were moving in that direction. It was eventually going to be no phone at all. I'm just trying. I feel like I've come to a point that I'm not going to listen to it at all. I just can't take it. The telephone. It's such a crazy hesach das in a person's life. The only thing is, there's no aids, because people have, obviously people, they're important in the animal, and you can't not.
Email.
Yeah. No,
what's so special about that?
Yeah.
Time?
What
is it so special about that time of Sudash Bishi that makes it the Yom Kippur? Why isn't Musaf Hazor Shabbos?
Because in Kabbalah, that time of Shel Shuvas is called Raiva de Raivin. It means in Kabbalah how the Olamas are configured at that time is the biggest Eis Ratzon. That's why right before we go to Shal Shuvas we say Vanis Rosu Hashem Eis Ratzon. The time of Minchas Shabbos is a big, big, big Eisvatz. It's a very big Indian entire. What? But that's crossing over from Shabbos to Chol. That time, there's a. It's like that last adrenaline, and it's like Neilah. Exactly. Shalosu is like every time you come to the end and you're crossing over. So you're at that time, there's this. It's like a person is. It's like dying in a certain way.
Dying that, during that time is supposed to be a very special thing. It's supposed to say a lot about the person. God forbid someone dies. Again.
Sure. That's right, and that's why, because the parting of the soul from the body, when there's this parting of the soul from the body, then the soul has a tremendous, tremendous hisiris to make it get in its last shot, to get in its last word. So every shaldashudas, just like every ne'ila, is a bechina of me'ain, of the parting of the body and the soul, of death.
The neshama
Yisrael of Shabbos, right? Is so that separation. That separation. There's a feeling of like a feeling of desperation. It's like they're taking something precious away from you, and then you finally realize, you know, this is important to me, and which you wouldn't feel necessarily during Musaf when you're in it. But when it's being taken from you, vay of the neshama, and you feel that, and that you feel that it's leaving you. So then there's that desperate cry, the last minute of life, a Shema Yisrael. That's the whole meaning of Shalosh Sukkos, of Ne'ilah, and so on. Gam b'chol shivu nefesh ha'efes el al. You never knew that they found it over here, right? So they got it from. They were all reading Hashavas Avreich. He says, the entire week, the soul of a Jew is also really longing to above el al. It has a sheifa to for the Rebbein Shalom. Avol nevekesi. But the problem is that the whole week, when the soul has this sheifa, it's part of the struggle of the soul, and it's having a hard time. V'nechleshes l'fnei mastineha v'darseha, and the soul of a person during the week is weakened, is being kicked around by its enemies and the ones who crush it. So even though it's true that every Jew has shifas during the week and a little bit of a something, but and there are things that are sitting inside, but it gets totally beaten up. Whatever that shif is, it gets beaten up by the next phone call or the next email, or beaten up by the next, you know, by the next Kleinigkeit and the next Narishkeit, and everything's just getting, so the shifas are there, but the shifas just take a beating. A yearning, a longing. Kaychei haguf v'tirdoisav asher oimdim ala. The kaychei haguf, the physical kaychis of a person, and the tirdis and the preoccupations and the tirdis of a person that he's busy with during the week, asher oimdim ala, those are the enemies of the soul. Those are crushing the soul. Rhyme simaisa. They crush the soul. They crush the sheifas. Rhyme means to stamp upon, to step upon. Rhyme simaisa. The saisim mespia, and they close the mouth of the sheifas of the soul. That the person's neshama is trying to make itself heard. But the tirdis, the physical tirdis, and all of the things that are going on during the week, stamp upon the soul and shut its mouth. Ad sheyesh shagam kaila lo yishama. That you might not even hear at all the slightest, faintest little voice coming from the nefesh the entire week. That means even though you go daven three times a day, and you say brachas, and you bench, and you make ashayotzes, and so on. But everything is just to be yitzeh. But the voice of the person's nefesh, the voice of a person's nefesh is not heard. I saw that the old square Rebbe, the Rebbe Zogzunzayin's father, was a Kaddish Mirechem Ramesh Tzadik Yisraelim, the old square Rebbe Yaakov Yeshua Tzadik Yisraelim. So I saw that in a sefer that He ate so little. His fasting was arkidekach that there was skin and bones. It's mamish skin and bones. So it was already here in America. I saw it said in the Sefer that there was a big asifa of Rabbanim and Rebbes for a very urgent thing. It's a big gathering of Rebbes and Rebbes. And they prevailed upon the square. We didn't usually go to these things. The old square didn't go. But but I think it said that Rav Moshe Feinstein called him and asked him to please come, that it was important. And Dechares Rav Moshe, the Skarabi came to this thing. And there were all the big Rosh Yeshivas and Rebbes in America at that time were at the meeting. And some Rosh Yeshiva got up, and he used it as a time to be ma'ira all the tzaddikim there to speak to the square rabbi about his health. And he didn't say the square by name, but it said that he got up, this Rosh Yeshiva, somebody got up and said that there's a tzaddik here amongst us who is constantly tormenting his body. He's tormenting his body, and something must be done about it. And he didn't say the square rabbi, but everybody knew who it was, and he wanted L'shem Shemayim to be ma'ira. That the tzaddikim who were there should go and talk to the square rabbi that he should stop fasting like that, and he should stop tormenting his body. So the rabbi was sitting there, and everybody looked at him. All the rabbis and Rosh Hashivas looked at the square rabbi, and the square rabbi looked up, and he saw that they were all looking at him, and he said, I don't remember, I wasn't Yiddish, but he said, I never ever thought that I'm tormenting my body. He said, I'm just trying to please my neshama. He said, I'm just trying to make my neshama happy. I never thought of tormenting my body. I'm just trying to make my neshama happy. That's what he said. I don't know if they were able to be poiled with him anything. It's hard to be poiled with such a person. He was like a malach of Hashem. So I never thought like I'm denying my body. I'm just trying to. The Tannis, the fast is something that I'm giving my neshama. Not like we think that the Tannis is what I'm taking something away from my body. That's, we always go to Tannis thinking like that. But the Rebbe didn't say, I never thought of it like that. I'm tormenting my body. I'm just indulging my neshama. I'm indulging my neshama. The Tannis is a gishmak for my neshama, as he said. I enjoy it. I'm indulging my neshama. But the eye is indulging. Is being indulged with the Tannis. But the whole week, the Rebbe says that all of these needs of the body are crushing the voice of the soul. Therefore, even though each person's soul is chayla sahave, his mom is sick with love for Hashem, he doesn't know. He doesn't feel it. Ukishabo HaShabbos. When Shabbos comes, she'ish oizev is kol ha'olam, she'ayinu v'hamayinu, when a person comes to Shabbos and he leaves the whole tumult, the noise and the confusion and the distractions of the week, u'b'fat b'shal shudas she'nichnas al kadosh kadoshim lifnai v'lifnim, especially when he comes to shal shudas, when he comes into the shal shudas is kadosh kadoshim lifnai v'lifnim, like the kohen gadol in Yom Kippur, lifnai v'lifnim mamish, and the holy of holies, a moisis asma elav yisbarach, and then he lets go of all the things of the week and all of the, you know, and the need to act a certain way and make a certain impression, all the distractions. Or Moses Atzma Elav Yisbarach, as called Shukas and Nefesh, then all of this, the longings of the soul, Yisurah, its suffering, B'tzakos, and the screams of the soul, Shekola Shavua, Hayom V'Halelis, of the entire week, the nights and the days, Boaz and Misgarsel B'Shazu, all of a sudden, they make themselves heard. It comes out, it bursts out, it shall shoot us. Pambachuka Aza, sometimes very strong, Meshaych Avdukha Ritzainacha, when he says the words Meshaych Avdukha in Yidid Nefesh, Meshaych Avdukha Ritzainacha, draw your servant to your will, Upambikaev Otsum, sometimes with great pain, the Bakriyami Mamakam, crying out from the depths, Habeit Nahashem, Ki Kuni Psuni, Rabbi Shalom, look at me, I'm so beaten, I'm so injured and beaten by the Etzahara, by my enemy, Umimcha Hechikuni Ubaycha, and I'm so far from you. And I'm crying out to you, Kel Narefan Allah, Hashem, please cure and bring a healing to my neshama, to the Shechina that's within me. I will continue with Hashem.